Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Welcome back to NHRA Nitro Podcast. Joe Costello here, and we're about to dive in with our funny car winner from the AAA Insurance Midwest Nationals. It was an all Coletta Motorsports final round, Sean Langdon versus J.R. Todd, two great friends, two former junior dragster racers, and getting the job done, Sean Langdon won this one, but it was a really exciting final round, and we're going to speak with Sean just minutes from now. First, though, got to thank our sponsors, the people who make WFO Radio possible, Total Seal Piston Rings, TotalSeal.com, the leader in ring seal technology. Whatever the style of piston, whether it be a motorcycle, pro modified, or regular street car, Total Seal Piston Rings make the rings and the tools to maintain them. TotalSeal.com. MagicDryUS.com, the official organic absorbent of the NHRA. Magic Dry is made of coconut. It works better. It's easier to carry around because it's lighter, and it's organic, so it's not bad for the environment or you. MagicDryUS.com. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. The Dragster Adventure. I tell you before every show, one of these days you're going to break down and do it. You know you want to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. You know you want to go 130 in the quarter mile. And you know you want to do it in a rear engine super comp dragster, because that is what makes it unique. The feeling of the dragster and doing a burnout. Maybe you've got a Ferrari. Let me tell you, your Ferrari doesn't feel like this. It's a very different experience, and it makes a great gift for the holidays. Rodak's coffeeandgrills.com. Marvin Rodak, our buddy, down there in Fort Worth, Texas. We're headed your way, Texas, not that long from now. The AAA Texas Fall Nationals coming up. Marvin Rodak's got all these great blends of coffee. Funny Car Chaos, Bang the Blower, WFO Radio, Capco, Schumacher, all these different blends of coffee that are fantastic. Hot sauces and spice rubs and everything good. Tools for grilling. They sell grills down there. If you're in the Fort Worth area and you're going to buy a grill, you got to go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin knows how to hook it up for the holidays. 817-924-6821. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. You want to work on a race car. You want to build racing engines. You want to be a machinist. You want to just have a great job that's not going to be outsourced, that allows every day to be a little different, and you to have passion and feeling of accomplishment when you finish something. CNC machinist, motorsport EFI tuning, blockhead CNC programs. They are approved to train veterans under the GI Bill. Check them out, samtech.edu, and there's going to be a new Factory Stock Podcast rolling out. Where do you find it? Just search Factory Stock Podcast. Dave Kramer, first time winner, going to be on there. And his car chief, crew guy, Chris Vang, is a Samtech graduate and was actually on our most recent episode. Samtech.edu. Drag Racing Edge magazine and EV3 Drag Racing for your mobile device. The magazine is a magazine. The other is a game. And they both help us promote WFO Radio. All right, let's get into it. Joining us now, he is the funny car winner at the AAA Insurance Midwest Nationals. His first two-wide win. He has now won four wide. He's won two wide. He's won Top Fuel. He's won Super Comp. He's won Junior Dragster. He's won everything. Sean Langdon. Sean, welcome back to WFO Radio. How are you?
I'm doing great.
That was a big win for you. Big win for the team. Tell me about it.
Yeah, definitely a big win for the team. Obviously, anytime you can get a win in this day and age, it's a great accomplishment, especially doing it in the countdown, kind of in the fashion that we did it. You know, we just had a great car the last couple months, and we had a bad race going to Reading, and, you know, just had to make a lot of changes coming out of Reading into St. Louis. Took a little bit of a gamble, some calls that Dell and Nikki made. And obviously it worked out. So, great calls by, Dell and Nikki on making some of the major changes. Just being in 10th place, you know, we kind of came into St. Louis with the mindset, you know, we have to win to stay in it. And, we just really tried to stick to that the whole time. I mean, from the time we left Reading, it was like, hey, we got to go to St. Louis and we have to win. There's really no other option. So we're going to make these changes because we feel like these are the best chance this is the best chance for us to have that opportunity. And man, it worked out. Great calls by Dale and Nikki and Chad Head and the whole Coletta group and everybody over at the Coletta Fab Shop and everybody at TRD and you know, our sponsors for Steve and Samantha Bryson for kind of sticking with our vision and kind of trusting in the process. Like I said, making some changes. Second race in the countdown isn't an ideal situation, but you know, when you have a good group of people around you, sometimes you make some kind of out of left field calls, but it works out for the best.
Now, the changes you're talking about, I know you referenced front halving the car. Were there other things as well? I mean, I know that's significant enough, right? You front half a car, that is a big deal. And I think you talked about you didn't even drive it around, right? It just came from the shop right to the track for the most part, and you went out there for Q1. But that's a significant change.
Yeah, definitely. You know, with the front half that we did, we made some other big changes that they. You know, just with the, you know, other aspects of tuning the car, not trying to give away too many speed secrets, but, you know, just, yeah, it was kind of a little nerve wracking. I mean, you know, finally kind of after a year and a half seemed like just kind of struggling a little bit driving the car and, you know, working a lot with Dell and you know, the guys at TRD and Slugger and watching multiple, you know, videos and of runs and going over data and just trying to learn these things, you know, just trying to drive them better, you know, finally got into a situation where we kind of got a chassis and everything where it seemed to work well. And finally, you know, felt like I kind of got in a little bit of a groove and then, so we go to, you know, Reading and obviously I had those troubles blowing the tires off, at the starting line, not really sure what the issue was. You know, Reading had a great racetrack, we just were missing it somehow, but we didn't, you know, we couldn't go with having those issues. We couldn't go to St. Louis and not address something. So, we kind of had to make some wholesale changes and, yeah, one of the big changes was, you know, front half of the car. And, so, you know, we were going to test on that Tuesday, before St. Louis, but you know, it's just kind of tough with, timing, in the countdown of getting everything done and, you know, putting the extra hours on the road with the guys and not wearing them out. And, you know, just the cost of nitro going up and just the cost of all these other things, just trying to make it through the countdown and, you know, maintaining budget at the end of the year. It just, we decided not to test on Tuesday. So we just showed up to the track in St. Louis and I drove the car to the staging lanes, you know, behind the tow vehicle and kind of steered it a little bit and, you know, got out of the car and Matt Bynum, the car chief, was like, well, what do you think? Do we need to change some steering around? I was like, well, let's just go hit the gas and see what it does. So we kind of hit the gas and the car did good, man. We had four good qualifying runs, even though they weren't fast. You know, we had to make some other little changes going into Sunday. I think the biggest thing is we just, we didn't give the track enough credit. The track was really good. And just being there was a little hot and muggy and we just needed to make a little bit more power. So that was kind of our focus on Sunday was, getting our power level up and give the track a little bit more credit. And I think it kind of played into our tune up a little bit better with it, the little bit warmer conditions and the track heating up. But yeah, everything seemed to work out.
It seemed to work out. Let's talk about you round by round. And it's funny hearing you talk about your team. You got a lot of characters on there. You talk about Slugger, you know, Steve and Samantha, like you're surrounded, Nikki, Dell, you know, Matt. There's a lot of characters in the Coletta Motorsports organization and a lot of them on your team. It's just kind of, you know, fun and funny people. But let's talk a little bit about your round one matchup. Tommy Johnson, wow, he's had an unbelievable year. Strong car, tough deal. Given what you just told us, that you came in with the plan to win the race, right? Like it was your win or bust kind of race if you're going to have a shot at the championship. We looked at the race as one of our marquee matchups. Ultimately, we went with JR and Beckman just because JR is the champ and Beckman was the points leader. But this was a big race, and Tommy, 389.8, you're 390 with a 7, but you left first, and that made the difference.
Yeah, and, you know, fortunately, you know, able to, you know, helped the team out. Just obviously we're running TJ, and TJ's, one of the best drivers in the class. And, his whole team's had a great car all year long. That's, that's one of the cars that you look at, and I kind of consider them sneaky fast. Like, you don't really know how fast that car is until you got to race them. And that car's thrown up some big numbers on us this whole year when we've had to race them in some conditions, unfavorable conditions. They still seem to make these monster runs, and that's kind of been our downfall for majority of the year. I mean, we've had some success and we've, had some mistakes, but, we just, our race day luck, hasn't really been great this year. We don't really get a whole lot of breaks. Sometimes we do, but we just always seem to run into the low ET of the round. And that's kind of, I would say probably 60-70% of our races is we run into the fastest guy with the round. We just need to kind of step up a little bit more. Knowing TJ, figured, they're going to have to make a good run. So we tried to make a good run, the best that we felt we could. The car just really ran well. I mean, fortunately I was able to get a pretty sizable lead off the starting line, to where we didn't have to have that good of a run. But, it was just a credit to the team of, regardless, Tommy was low ET of the round.
And you were second
Tommy's
low.
Not normally. Yeah, exactly. But that's kind of our thing is like, hey, if we're going to keep running these guys that are low ET of the round, we need to figure out a way to be second low ET of the round. And we're going to give it to you for you to try to get a little bit of a hole shot. And we're just going to give you a race car and let you go with it. And it's kind of something that, Dell and Nikki have talked to me about the last couple races. Like, they kind of feel like, hey, we sometimes we can get a little bit of an advantage on the starting line with you. And so, we're just going to do our best to give you, a race car that's close to the competitor and let you do, what you can with it. So just fortunately is able to work out on that run. Obviously anytime you can get a hole shot, it kind of feels good as a driver to be able to, give back to the team a little bit for all the times that they've saved your butt throughout the year.
Yeah, well, you just touched on a couple of subjects that I think are so interesting. And I'm scanning the reaction times of the day, and that 047 was like the best true reaction time. I know Force had a 23 against JR, but he rolled it in deep. And, that's a good light in a funny car. But the racing, the competition, crew chief discussion, like what do we need to do to win this race? The conversation that surrounds that is very interesting. It doesn't really get discussed very often because it's on to the next race immediately. But here you guys go. They were preparing for you. They're low of the round. You're preparing for them. Second low of the round. I think that's kind of cool, the strategizing that goes on amongst the teams to battle specific competitors.
Yeah, and I think that's something that, for me, I thoroughly enjoy. Just because of my sports and racing background, with racing super comp, you have to race a specific competitor, and this competitor may like to dial the car honest and hold it all the way to the finish line. This other competitor may like to hold a couple hundredths and hit the brakes at the finish line, or so you kind of really start to learn your competitors, and that's kind of what we felt like we kind of did for round one with them. I mean, we kind of. One thing that, we always kind of go over is, just the qualifying sheets and the competitors, where they're at reaction time-wise and where we kind of project them to be. We definitely try to this is something that I've kind of done for years and I've kind of brought over when I started racing funny car, was just understanding competitors in certain situations of knowing, which competitors like a short tree or a long tree. What competitors like to stage first or last. So I think you kind of, you're not up there playing games per se, but you're up there trying to maybe exploit a certain weakness in another driver that you feel like you might be able to get a hundredth or two advantage. When a lot of these races are separated by thousandths of a second, if you can, without doing that, anything that's detrimental to the, to your competitor, you just, you try to maybe exploit a weakness that you think you can pick up on to kind of strategize your position a little bit better.
Love it. No, well, that's gamesmanship. That's what Bill Belichick does. That's you know, that's his move. You know, figure out the competitor, take away their strength, and then crush them. So that was good. Now, second round, Jim Campbell. Very interesting situation. You mentioned your Super Comp days. You got a little taste of you know, falling way behind and then coming back and have to determine whether or whether or not you're going to take the stripe. You went up in instant smoke, so the problem was back, at least on that run, and then Campbell kicked the blower belt and was coasting, and you were able to recognize it and get around. But I'm sure you thought that whole thought process in, you know, thousandths of a second.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much that went on. You know, just one thing that I've really, you know, Dell and I and Nikki, we've really worked on is, you know, me pedaling a race car. We feel pretty confident with, you know, typically where I'm at reaction time wise with the race car. We feel, you know, like we can majority of the time have a little bit of an advantage there. But one thing that I've struggled with a little bit is pedaling a funny car. And the hard thing about it, you don't really get much time to practice that, because the only practice you have is on race day when you're on Fox and everybody's watching you and analyzing all your mistakes. And so it's just, it's not something that you do in qualifying. It's not something you do in testing. So it's just a field that you have to gather up by learning from your mistakes. And, you know, when you don't smoke the tires a lot, then it takes a little bit of time to learn how to do it properly. So it's really kind of been something that we've tried to work on a lot this year. You know, we kind of feel like there's been some pedal fest that I've been in, you know, and I just really try to overanalyze and you know, just I'm super critical of myself as a driver. So, you know, whether, you know, we still lose these rounds, and even though the guy makes a run down the track, I still try to pedal it. And I try to learn from it and like, hey, what are areas that I can improve on? How do I get better? You know, for the instance of like Sunday, you get put in that position to where you can save a round and get around somebody else and give your crew chiefs another opportunity to get you in the winner circle. So, you know, just when I hit the gas, I initially was, you know, blew the tires off at the hit and was, you know, my first thought was to try to let the car settle down and let the car recover and kind of get on the throttle. And so it was kind of like one of those, I got on the throttle, but I seen him driving away. So I kind of like, well, race is over. I get off the throttle and then I see his pipes go wet. I'm thinking, oh man. And just out of instinct, my foot goes back down on the pedal. And so it's recovered and it's starting to gain momentum on him. So then I kind of get my foot all the way down, finally give it full throttle. And I was making some pretty good ground on him. So, yeah, like you said, back to the Super Comp days, just, you know, your rate of closure of, you know, how quick you're gaining on somebody. You know, I could tell by about 400 or 500 feet that I was going to get around him. But I could also feel the car. It was laboring really, really bad. So, you know, with that being said, I'm not wanting to blow the motor up or, you know, you blow the motor up and the track down, you get fined and penalties or, you know, worst case scenario, you blow the body off the car. So obviously I was, once I knew that I came up to him and was going to go around him, I shut the car off a couple hundred feet early just to kind of save parts. You know, just try to help out and keep a couple dollars in Connie's pocket.
You tightened up the stripe is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a beautiful tightened up stripe, but it was tightened it up enough to get the win. That's all that matters.
There's, you know what I really appreciate? Before we talk about Tasket, like, look, you've won at every level, and you are very vocal and open. I mean, you could hide it. You could not talk about it, but you're very open about how hard these things are, right? That you're, I don't want to say struggling. That's not really accurate, but, like, that it's challenging. And you're putting it out there for everybody to see that, like, hey, man, this is hard. I'm over, you know, you've said over your head at times, and you're getting better and better and better, and that experience is coming along. That's been very useful, I think, to all of us to see. Like, we don't know. Langdon, Top Fuel World champ, man. He's having a tough go of it. This is hard, and he's trying hard and putting all he can do into it to get better at it. And I think that's been good. Good for the class, good for the sport, and, you know, good that you chose to do that.
Yeah, and you know, at times I question it. I mean, I've been very, very lucky throughout my career. It just seems like whatever car I seem to hop in, I generally have, you know, I guess kind of a little bit of a knack for getting in the car and being able to make some good runs, you know, within a couple runs of getting in a different car. And you know, I've just been very fortunate throughout my career. The funny car is really the first car that I sat in. That it just, man, it's taken time, and I've actually really had to work hard at it. You know, harder than I normally have. I mean, I'm always overly critical of my driving, always looking for ways to improve, you know, from the time I hit the gas to the time I pull the parachutes. But I mean, just things that I typically watch, you know, for the run is, you know, how I stage the car from, you know, how deep, you know, or how shallow or how many flickers I get on the tree to how much brake pressure, how quickly I push the gas down, how consistently I push the gas down, how much steering input do I have in it, how much lateral G goes into the car, where do I shut the car off at the finish line at a proper time to not run it too far and blow the motor up, but not shut it off too early and give up any ET, to pulling the parachutes on time and, you know, trying to do that. So these are all things that I'm, you know, constantly keeping an eye on after every run, you know, making sure that I'm, you know, all my kind of points are, you know, kind of I'm hitting all my points, and, you know, just the consistency of my burnout, consistency of how I back up, make sure I'm in the groove properly, make sure, you know, my length of burnout is the same to where you're not burning too much fuel. It's 9 pounds a gallon. So you do too long of a burnout, you take too long to back up and your run time's 10 seconds long. Well, then you got 9 pounds off the nose. So it changes the whole dynamic and the balance of the car. So there's just so many things that really don't get exposed to the public that, you know, we're constantly trying to work on and improve on. And, but, yeah, just with the funny car, man, I think that's the biggest thing of why I enjoy driving a funny car. It's the challenge of it. They're not easy to drive. They're challenging to drive, but it's really kind of pushed, sometimes my patience level, but sometimes just, you know, my abilities to, really try to make myself better and really sit down and like have to try to work at it and just watch videos hours after hours of different things that I do, of what's good, what's bad, watch other competitors, how they do things, and just try to constantly learn to be better.
Well, that is great that you've been so public with it also, because we're learning alongside, but we're not going to get to drive. We're just going to watch you. Semifinals, Bob Kaska. they're good. They got a strong car, strong team, number 3 qualifier, and this was a big race. So let's go into the planning for Team Kaska.
Well, yeah, that was a little tricky because, you know, how do you tune your car up when you just blew the tires off at the starting line against Jim Campbell, but you're running Kaska, who probably had one of the best cars of the weekend consistently, you know, not to mention Bob's a great driver, obviously always going to cut a good light. So you really can't bank when you run Bob Kaska, you really can't bank on any type of reaction time advantage. You're just basically trying to leave with him. And you know, you might be able to gain a couple foul, but that's not really enough to bank on for, you know, an overall tune-up or setup related deal. So we really kind of went over there, you know, we kind of had a little timid, you know, we can't blow the tires off again. You know, kind of look like dummies up there if we did that, but we also want to have an opportunity to make a good run against Bob, because we know that Bob has been running well all weekend. So I don't know the final outcome of all the things that they changed. I know that there was a lot of debates going on how we're going to address it and how we're going to how aggressive do we want to get, or you know, how timid do we want to get on it. But you know, I just, you know, we just kind of it worked out. I mean, obviously I think that our semifinal run was so good. I think that our semifinal run really won us the final round because of how strong of a run that was. Put a little bit of pressure on JR and their group to have to kind of step up. They made a great run as well, the 398, but trying to, you know, get that extra couple hundreds, and then us having lane choice, putting them into that right lane for the final. You know, really kind of feel like that semifinal run won us the final round, because we weren't pretty in the final. It dropped a hole early into the run, and it was labor, and I was fully expecting to see JR put a nose out on me, but I didn't see him, so I wasn't lifting.
Wow. Well, you know, when you win the semi and JR wins the semi, and it's going to be an all Coletta final round, which means Coletta Motorsports is going to win three in a row back to Doug and Indy. And, you know, I spoke with JR a couple weeks ago leading into this race. And you know, he's talking about just the happiness level of Connie and just all those different factors. The last time Coletta Motorsports won three in a row, it was Doug, right? This is very different. This shows the strength of the whole organization now. It's not just one team. It's everybody is in on the action, like Coletta-wide. So what's it like getting ready for a final round when, you know, the two funny cars are going to square off? First of all, you and JR are great friends, number one. I know you guys talked about being a couple of junior dragster racers who are now you get to run in the final round of a playoff race in the NHRA. And so everybody's happy for everybody, but you want to win it. Right? You want to win it. When you guys do the Nomex effect, you want to be the guy who won it. Reinhardt was asking about the side bet, by the way. I don't know if you have that information, if there was or there wasn't. But tell me about getting ready for a final round with all that, you know, positive stuff going on and still needing to compete for the win.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, it's good for the whole Coletta group. It's good for Connie Coletta. I mean, this guy put so much time and money into this organization to keep it going and to allow kids like JR and I, you know, opportunities to fulfill their lifelong dreams and to race for a legend like Connie. And, you know, so it's just, it's awesome to see all the hard work and all of, you know, Connie's passion go into something and, you know, starting to reap the benefits from it, you know, being able to win the last three races, the last two races, the first two countdown races. We have an all Coletta final in the dragster side. Now we have an all Coletta final in the funny car side. But yeah, for JR and I was pumped. You know, I felt like once we both won the semifinals, I kind of just took a sigh of relief where it's like, all right, we won. And, you know, yeah, we want to win for our own individual teams. I want to win for Steven Samantha Bryson and he wants to win for DHL. But you know, there's always that little bit of competition left in you, but at the end of the day, as a team, we won. We accomplished it. We got to the final, and remember, I walked over to JR, and, you know, I just said, hey, bud, we made it. This is it. You know, this is our first time we've run in the final together, and, I mean, shit, 20 years ago, we were in the staging lanes racing junior dragsters against each other, you know, dreaming of this opportunity, and, like, this, like, 20-some-odd years later that, like, we're here now. Like, this is... doesn't get any better than this. So, and I'm excited for myself. I'm excited for my team, my guys who've been busting their asses all year long. But, you know, just at the end of the day, you know, it was a great team win, regardless of if I turned the win light on or if JR turned the win light on. It was a great team win for Coletta, for all of our sponsors, you know, for obviously Global Electron Technology and, you know, DHL and Toyota and Wix and everybody. It's just it's a big team effort that, you know, my crew chiefs and his crew chiefs work together all year long. JR and I work together all year long, constantly trying to, you know, improve each other and give little tidbits of advice. You know, we just, at the end of the day, we want to see one of these cars in the winner's circle at Pomona holding that championship trophy. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, man, racing your good buddy and racing your teammate and having an all team final. Doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, you guys both had, you left together within 5,000, 72 to a 77, and then both cars had a little problem, and you won the race, and that was that. You won the deal. You mentioned Steve and Samantha. You know, I've gotten to know Steve and Samantha a little bit, and obviously, you know, I mentioned characters early on. He certainly is passionate, driven, successful, wants to win, and he's came on board for a while, and like you said, like stuck it out. And now it's coming up. It's like working. And it's very interesting to see how that's all playing out. You know, the sponsor, Global Electronic Technology, and the fact that this team, right at the right time now, just like JR last year, this team is in the middle of it, 80 points out.
Yeah. And, you know, hell, if anybody has a reality TV show and they want to get some good content, you come over to our pit area between Bill and Nikki and my sponsors. And, you know, just the whole group that we have together, it's constantly something going on. And it's awesome. I love being a part of it. You know, at times it's intense, but at times we're having the time of our life and we're laughing our butts off. So it's, you know, I know, you know, Steve, yeah, like you said, man, Steve and Samantha, they stuck with me through some tough times. I mean, you know, the first year we come out, we went to a couple finals, didn't win. last year. You know, we went a bunch of rounds and, you know, kind of had a little bit of a tough year, but I had a big learning curve here, you know, between, you know, different crew chiefs and stuff like that. But I really felt like this year was a kind of our turning year, you know. So, you know, I know that there's been some times that, you know, Steve's kind of come to me and like, man, how do you do this? Like, you know, he goes, I could tell you want to win, but, you know, it's tough not being able to get more wins. And it's like, you know, it's just that's the glory of drag racing, is you just have to understand everything's full circle. You know, you have to take the good with the bad, but you have to take the bad with the good too. So you can't, you know, nobody's going to, it's very rare that you see anybody come out and do what Tony Schumacher did years ago, or what even Steve Torrence did last year, and just come out and just flat dominate. There's just so many good cars. But it's just, you have to kind of set, you know, you're not going to come out and win every race and win the championship. You have to set other goals. So you have to kind of accomplish, you know, you kind of have to have a, you know, some goals that you kind of reach for a little bit, but you also have to have some reality goals too. So I kind of, you know, I've always just kind of been a little bit of a realist, sometimes maybe a little too real. People may not take it the right way, but, you know, I just try to set certain standards that I feel is very obtainable for the team. And I really feel like, you know, we have a good team, and it's kind of like I told him, I said, we just got to keep fighting, man. We got to keep working our butts off and just stick with us, man. And I promise you, it's going to turn around. And when it does, just be ready for it.
Well, that's a great attitude. And it does seem to always take considerably longer than you want it to, like whatever it is. I hear, you know, there's a crew chief or driver combination, they get put together and it's gonna be like, this is gonna be the solution. And it, you know, maybe it is, but it's not gonna be the solution this year. It might be the solution middle of next year. And it's just weird how it seems to take longer.
Yeah, and that just shows how tough it is. I mean, you know, it's just like any other sport team. I mean, you put, you know, these number one draft picks or these new head coaches, or you get these new players that come in, and I mean, you're playing against the Brady and Belichicks that have been together and winning championships for the last 15 years. So they're already established and they know what they're doing. And I mean, you look at guys like, you know, Jimmy Prock and Robert Hight, they've been together for so long. I mean, that's, you know, they have a great combination, and they're going to win races, and they're going to be at the hunt every single year at the end of the year for the championship. But it's, you know, it's up to you to, be able to figure out ways around that. And, you know, sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes a little too much time. But you know, you just got to keep your head focused forward and not, you know, not look back and do all the, what it could have, should have. You just got to keep grinding it out and keep working your butts off to, you know, obtain the goals that you set for yourself at the end of the year.
Great attitude. Now, you went big money bracket racing pretty recently too, didn't you?
Yeah. I went to the Spring Fling.
What happened?
You know, Peter Biondo and Kyle Seipel put on a great event. They put on three events actually throughout the year, but I just enjoy bracket racing. I enjoy racing as it is, but I kind of use it as a little bit of a tool, as a, you know, maybe, you know, I just like driving a race car, and that's my thing. You know, a lot of the other stuff that comes with the Top Fuel stuff kind of comes with the territory. So that's, you know, part of sometimes a little bit of your job. You know, definitely enjoy every part of it, but sometimes you kind of do the little bit of bracket racing to kind of get away and kind of, you know, kind of get your mind right for the following weekend. And so I'm able to just to make laps. I mean, like that weekend, I made over 20 some laps, and laps at the Christmas tree, and laps of just the racing mentality and the focus and the everything that kind of goes with it. Even though you're not driving 330 miles an hour, there's a lot of things that you can translate from one car to the other. So for me, it's just making laps. And then on top of it, they were paying $500,000 to win. So that's always a nice little chunk of change bonus. But was able to get a runner-up in the 30-grander on one of the days. Drove a little bit like a donkey for the rest of the weekend, but had my buddy Ryan Mangus drive my white car. And so he came out. He got down to five cars in the 500-grander. So, I mean, all in all, good weekend. Didn't get a win, but made some pretty good money after the splits and everything. And yeah, I mean, bracket racing's at its peak right now from the amount of money that's paid out to the competition, to, you know, to everything from top to bottom, sponsor involvement, everything. I mean, it's bracket racing's flourishing right now. And just, you know, I enjoy doing it on my off weekends.
Awesome. No, it's great. That's another great stat. The bracket racers of the world, I'm sure they love having you out there battling it out in the Nitro ranks, and vice versa. It's cool that you go do that, and it is fun. It is it's fun to watch, certainly. And the idea that you can make $500,000 on one weekend, that is really good. for the bracket racers of the world. Sean, yeah. Congratulations. Good job. I appreciate this debrief session. Like, you are a deep thinker when it comes to this stuff, and you also communicate it very well also. I think our listeners learned a whole lot. Good luck in the championship. Charlotte is next. Before I let you go, Sean, when are you going to do a Nomex effect? You and JR, final round. Come on.
We need to get something going soon.
Yeah. Like, this is what you've been building up. The whole reason you started the podcast was, like, for this race, right? This is what it's all about.
Yep. Exactly.
And, four races to go. It's very close, very tight. Anything can happen. I know it's going to be entertaining. Like you said, you got a great group of guys around you. It's going to be fun to watch. Thanks for coming on WFO Podcast.
Thank you for having me on, Joe.
Sean Langdon with us here on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. Fans of Sean, share, retweet, all that stuff, and hopefully you subscribe. I don't think this is going to be the last time he wins in this countdown. I feel like that team is really strong. You got Nikki and Dell, both champions. You got Matt Bynum. The Coletta Motorsports organization is super strong, and Sean, I think you can tell right there that he is a deep thinker and takes it very, very seriously. He is a champion at Supercomp, top Fuel World champion, and has been successful in everything he's driven. So it's just a matter of time, and it's working out right now. Very interesting. Congratulations to that team and all of Coletta Motorsports. And we're going to have more WFO Radio interviews coming up. We have yet to speak with Erica. Erica will be coming up very soon. We're going to hear from Karen Stouffer coming up very soon. It is going to be great. Click subscribe and write us a review, maybe. Yeah? Yeah. And we got great sponsors like samtech.edu. Factory Stock Podcast will be coming out this week. Dave Kramer and some other guests as we break down the points. The championship all but decided. But the bottom line is this. The whole exercise is that young people who are looking for a career decide they can go to Samtech and end up working in auto racing or have a job that can't be outsourced or do something that they love every day. Samtech.edu, blockhead CNC programs, motorsport EFI tuning. They do it all at Samtech.edu. Total Seal Piston Rings. They make the rings for anything. Road cars, street cars, regular cars, but also high-performance racing engines. That is where they build their technology. Pro Stock, Stock Eliminator, IndyCar, NASCAR, they do it all, and they can do yours, whatever they are, if you're a motorcycle guy. Go-karts, they do it all, whatever it is. They've got the rings to fit those pistons. TotalSeal.com, they even make the tools. MagicDryUS.com, Magic Dry, the official organic absorbent of the NHRA. Magic Dry, supporter of Scott Palmer. Great to see Scott back out there. And Magic Dry, 560% of its weight, it absorbs. It is organic. It's natural. It's made of coconut. And it's much lighter, so it travels around much easier. Check it out, MagicDryUS.com. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventurer licensing courses. They've got such a great program over there at FrankHawley.com. Marvin Rodak, coffee, spice rub, everything good. Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com. And then, of course, Drag Racing Edge Magazine and EV3 Drag Racing, big supporters of WFO. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. When you guys need one of those things, go to these guys, okay? And don't forget, you can get your WFO Radio t-shirt at NitroFishRacing.com or the NitroFish trailer at the track. And Saturday is NitroFish Shirt Day, WFO Shirt Day, bought at the NitroFish trailer. All right, everybody, that's going to do it. More WFO coming your way.
WFO! The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, engine builders, Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top notch. Made in America? Absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to TotalSeal.com.
Hey, this is Scott Palmer, driver of the NHRA Cat Spot Litter Top Fuel Dragster. Do you have a cat? Go to catspotlitter.com, order it today. All natural product, made out of coconuts, 100% biodegradable. All you NHRA fan, cat owners, support our team. Go to catspotlitter.com.
Attention adrenaline junkies, Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to frankhawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, and you know the holidays are coming, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to Top Alcohol, they can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and run tens in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com, the Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO.
Hey, WFO Universe, want something for free? Send a self-addressed stamped envelope with plenty of postage, and we'll load it up with free WFO stickers. That's right, I said free. Send your envelope, care of Castello Media, /WFO stickers to P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. Do it now.
This is WFO Radio.